The sermon for this morning is primarily based on the gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. To start, I reread verse 23 and 24, but I'm also going to include Hebrews 11, 25, just in reading at the beginning, because what the author to Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, is speaking about is exactly what Jesus taught. First, from Hebrews 11, 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And then from Luke 13, 23 and 24. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. See to it that you do not refuse. One way to avoid looking like you refuse is to try to frame the conversation, try to speak in a way that avoids the question, that avoids any personal commitment. This is what happened when this person asked Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? In scholarly topics and discussion, one academic question is to talk about the topic and talk about the topic and talk about the topic in the third person, that over there. And never bring your own beliefs or position into it. You talk about it, but never what I think. And if a person is like that, you don't take a personal position. You just talk about the other people. So you see, that's what the question is. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Not, Lord, will I be saved? Lord, will my mother be saved? But Lord, will those out there somewhere be saved? Are those few? And in one sense, we humans talk like that, or frequently talk like that, because we have to think in abstracts and theories, because we can't know every situation personally. We cannot know every single person or every single situation, every single animal or plant in the world personally. So we talk about them, or those, or this. Did you notice in the psalm, in the intro, the psalm that we had, God said, I don't ask you to feed me, for all the animals on the hills are mine. All the world is his. To God, nothing is in the abstract. He doesn't ever say, them over there, or them over there, because he knows each one personally. Jesus even says, your Father knows each hair on your head, they are numbered. But God, he thinks of people in the first person and the second person. Not them out there, third person, not them out there. But I, first person, love you, second person. God and the person. So this life as Jesus' disciples, we his disciples, it is full of God to us. I, me, or us, plural, first person, and God talking to him, second person. We just talk about God, and not to God. That might be an academic question. What do Christians believe about God? Kind of just as a theory or an abstract. But a life as a disciple is talking to God, and God to me, to us. And our responsibilities as Christians is not just to them out there somewhere, but to fellow humans, you and you and you, personally. Personally. So as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we deal and think in, our lives are surrounded with this relationship with God and relationship with one another in the first person, me, us, and God, you. And if we get too much to the third person, them out there, that's abstract. Avoids a personal commitment. I was thinking about this, and that's partly what a mission festival is about, isn't it? You have a guest speaker come in, and you say, oh, that's the guy, those are the people, this is it. It becomes close. Not just them out there, but that's the faith, that's the work. Oh. Now, Jesus answers this question in the text, and I have it in the little notes. How many references, first and second person, can you find in this text? Jesus won't say, well, how many? He says, the question is, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Well, I'll tell you about how many will be saved. No, he tells them a parable, and he says, I, you. Second person all the time throughout this. So he answers this fellow, or them, and he said to them, verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. What is that? First person, plural, or second person, plural. You all strive. He's not talking about, well, if they strive hard enough. He says strive. And the word there is struggle. Live. There's something going on. You, through the narrow door. Then he says, for many I tell you, so strive is one, many I tell you will seek to enter and will not be able to enter. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door. You see that? He's telling a parable, but he brings the people right into the parable. The listeners are brought right into the parable. So that's three. You began to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And then he will answer, you. I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. That's ten so far. And he will say, I will tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, first person. All you workers of evil, that's 14. In that place there will be, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves will be cast out. I think that was 16, first and second persons. Jesus answers the question in a direct conversation way. He brings his listeners into the parable, into the warning. And the parable is also, it's not about them. It's not about them. It's you. He wants to draw them in and think seriously about who he is and their own commitment and relationship. You may have heard me read. I don't have any notes, but it's rather remarkable in verse 28. In that place there will be, did you hear me say, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth? Maybe you saw that and were reading along. In the Greek, there is the article there. And what Jesus is saying there, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the big one that passes all weeping and passing all gnashing of teeth, that's the place. The final weeping, the final gnashing of teeth. He emphasizes that. Jesus turns that question third person, theoretical, abstract, to you. He wants the people to think seriously about their own lives connected to Him. When we say in verses 29 and 30, and when He says, and people, now that's third person, those people, some people. And people will come from east to west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. Yes, Jesus can talk that way. Because why? He knows. He knows who those people are going to be throughout the ages that are going to believe in Him. But He's not going to tell the listener how many Iranians, how many Russians, how many Chinese, how many Taiwanese, how many Ghanaians. He's not going to say how many of each. That's His business. So there are some. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Again, Jesus knows. But that's not for us to count. What is for us is not to be last. And that's, we need to understand this a little bit. We often say, as encouragement to our children, oh, don't worry, you didn't win the race, but you participated. You might say that. And there is the whole thing was, well, you participate so everybody gets a ribbon or something. But we say you tried. That's not what this is talking about. Last means you weren't in it at all. Last means you refused to race. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews says. See that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject Him who warns from heaven. To be part of the race is to be a Christian. Whether you're finished, however you finish your rank, you get to heaven. It doesn't matter. You're in heaven. But what Jesus says, the last are the ones who actually refused and didn't race. Was it you, Debbie, or was it our son-in-law, Scott, told a story about, Scott's father, my son-in-law's father. He told a story about playing cards with the four boys, our four grandsons and his four grandsons, our shared grandsons. And they made a bet. They made a bet that whoever lost that game of cards had to do the dishes. The team that lost had to do the dishes. And and then the team lost. And Ezekiel said, and we had to do the dishes. And Scott's father, Jerry, said, do you know what he did? He took the dish that I cleaned and put it on the counter, and then I put it away. He helped with the dishes. It was just a little bit. But he helped. In our Christian lives, whether it's a little bit, a lot, we're in the race. But if Zeke had said, no, I'm not going to help, that's refusing. That's refusing. Jesus says, look, are there going to be few or many? It's not for you to know. But it's for you to be in the race and to be in heaven. So we listen. What has God for me today and tomorrow? What is this about? Where am I going? God, don't let me refuse. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for making us your sons and daughters through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us and forbid us and prevent us from refusing our adoption, refusing our forgiveness, refusing our heavenly home, but help us to pay attention and to be in relationship with you, first person and second person. And to think of other people not as those people over there, but rather all people whom you want to save. And help us to reach out those who are near to us or we have contacts with personally. Because you want to save all people personally. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.